valley, whether we're on the mountain, whether we're in the light or in the dark, God is still God. And He hadn't changed. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so grateful and thankful in my heart that the Lord is an unchangeable God. No, He's not like people. I don't believe I've ever seen such a changing generation as what we have in the world around us today. It seems like even in preachers. Somebody said not long ago, said about calling your preachers for special meetings, and said, you just book them year after year? And he said, no. Said, I don't book a preacher until I talk to him about 2 weeks before the meeting. So said, a preacher can change in overnight. They can compromise overnight. Men that I used to think would stand, I'm hearing now that some of them are taking different positions on particular Bible doctrine. And they're changing. And what they're doing, will you hear me now for a minute? I've learned this. I've been preaching a while. I'm not a rookie. I've learned that men will change their position for friendship. Friendship will allow men to change from one Bible position to another Bible position. And that's right. I mean, a man that some of them don't know can commit a particular sin, and they'll just about crucify him upside down. But if a friend that gets involved in the same way, then they'll change. They'll find some loophole in the Scripture to make the Scripture say what they want it to say. And I'm going to tell you, friends, the Bible doesn't change for us. And the Bible's not going to conform to what we are. We're going to have to conform to what the Bible is and believe that book. I'll assure you that. But God's not going to change. Well, I'm not going to tarry long tonight, I don't think. But I may. I never, I say that in sincerity. But you never know what God might do when you start preaching a little bit. What is it the old men used to say? The old time preachers say he got the anointing. I was in a church years ago when the preacher was preaching, and when it was over, I heard him and another fellow talking. The fellow said, I could tell when the service changed, that I could tell when you got the anointing. And that's not far from being wrong, I'll be honest with you. All right, I might you turn your Bible to the book of Psalms and chapter number 78 tonight. Psalm chapter number 78. And when you find your place there, let's stand together. I want to begin reading in verse number 9. This is where we left off. I want to begin reading in verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. They forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the Red Sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. I'm going to try to preach a little while if God will help me. I trust you'll pray and ask the Lord to direct our thoughts tonight. Let's look to Him. Our Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the good songs that we've enjoyed tonight. I thank You, Lord, for the good spirit that's in the hearts of our people. And thank You for the good Word of God that You've laid before us. Lord, I don't have to be long tonight, just truthful. I pray that You'll bring truth to our hearts, for truth shall make us free. I pray, O God, that You'll revive us in spirit. Revive us in worship. Revive us in our praying. Revive us in our praising of the good Lamb of God. And I'd ask You tonight to save sinners God, would you look into that heart tonight that's dead in sin? God, have mercy as only you can, and resurrect the dead into life. May the Lord Jesus tonight be glorified. I pray, my Father, for power and for unction, an old-time filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray for that anointing that can only come from God. I ask you to give me liberty tonight. And may the hearts of people be tender and receptive to the Spirit's pleadings and calls. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And for His sake we pray, amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I started to bypass this portion of Scripture because I'd preached out of it to the church some months back. Maybe, I don't know, it might have been a couple of years ago. I don't know the exact date. But the more I meditated on the verses, the more it seemed that I got a burden in my heart to preach out of this text tonight. And I'll try not to be long. You've heard it one time, and I'll try not to be long. But I think because of the hour that we're living in, that it's something that people need to hear over and over again and again, and something that they need to be reminded of over and over again. I want to take verse number 9 as our text tonight, where the Bible said, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." And if God will help me for a little while tonight, I want to preach on the thought, turning back with victory in sight. I know you've heard it, but don't turn me off. It'll do you good to hear it again. We're living in an hour of great compromise in our churches. And although men and women may not be literally leaving the house of God, I'm afraid many are turning back in their heart. They're at church all right, but their hearts have been far removed from God. They're like those that heard the discourse on the bread of life in John 6. And in verse 66, the Bible said from that day on that many of them turned back and followed the Lord Jesus no more. And like the people of Israel that Paul refers to, they did not turn back in body, but in heart and in spirit they turned back on God. And I wonder if we've not lost heart today. I wonder if we've not lost spirit today. I wonder if something has come into our life that has caused us to turn back on God. We've sat down on our stool of do-nothing, and we've decided to do exactly that and do nothing. Now, my text said that the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bow, turned back in the day of battle. I won't say, friend, it's one thing to turn back, but it's another thing to turn back with victory in sight. It's one thing to turn back, but it's another thing to turn back when one more step I would have led you into the great blessings of God. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I know young men I went to Bible college with, and many of them quit on God, left school and went back home maybe a day or 2 days early. Had they waited just another 48 hours, they'd have found the provisions that they needed to go on serving God. I want to say to you tonight, God's not about to desert His people. Brother, it may be difficult and dark, but I'm telling you, God has never deserted His people. He said, "I'll never forsake you, and I'll never fail you." Now, I guarantee if we'll learn to lean on the bosom of Christ, that He will never forsake us. But Ephraim, being armed and carrying bow, turned back in the day of battle. They had everything at their disposal they needed for victory, and yet they turned back in the day of battle. It's one thing to turn back and be an empty, but they had armor and they had the artillery, and yet they turned back on Almighty God. I want to say they had all the armor that they needed. They had their loins girt about with truth. They had on the breastplate of righteousness. They had the sword of the Spirit, and they had the helmet of salvation. But my friend, the Bible said, being armed and carrying bow, they turned back on God. Now, I want to say that God has provided us with everything that we need. Friend, He has not left us short on provisions. I tell you, God's grace is yet available. God's mercy is yet available. We've yet got a King James Bible. We've yet got a church that we can come to. We can yet fellowship with the people of God. God has supplied us with all of the armor and the artillery that we need, and yet people today are turning back on God in their hearts. God's given us all of the armor that we need. But they not only had the armor, they had the artillery. Being armed with bow and arrow, they turned back when, Brother Hall? In the day of battle. The artillery. I tell you, God gave that little old slingshot and five smooth stones to David. And he took one of them and went out in the day of battle and conquered the giant in his life. Now I'm telling you, friend, those same five smooth stones of grace is yet available to the people of God today. But mark her down in your little book. It'll never take all five of them. For God will fight our battles for us. And all it'll take is that one smooth stone. And my friend, God can win the victory for the people of God. They from being armed and carrying bow, turn back in the day of battle. Now I want to say that God's equipped you with everything, my friend, that you need in order to win this battle and to gain a victory. And yet I'm afraid some of you might be on the very threshold of turning back on God. Why, some of you have let down on your praying. Some of you have let down on your praising. Oh, may God help us never to stop preaching and stop praying and stop appraising God. Maybe I need to remind you of that the three main ingredients in the house of God is preaching and praying and praising. Now, I'm telling you, if we ever stop preaching and if we ever stop praying and if we ever stop praying God, we have laid our armor aside, laid our artillery down, and made ourselves vulnerable to the enemy. And they're sure to attack us, my friend. Amen to God. Preachers everywhere over the country. I had a man to call me the other day and said, well, we're the talking. And I mentioned a preacher's name. He said, Brother Hall, I don't believe I've ever in the last 2 years ever seen a preacher that changed his style of preaching any more than that individual. That I'm telling you, he's changed. He's not the same that he used to be. Now I'm telling you, men that I know that used to have some fire in their spirit, have some zeal of God in their zeal for God in their heart. I'm talking about had a little power with God and a little bit of the power of God, but they've stopped preaching and went to teaching. They stopped preaching and went to philosophize. Now I'm going to say, went to seminary. I'm not seminary and I'm not philosophizing. A brother, it's old time preaching of the Word of God. Preach and be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And when we stop preaching, my friend, we'll lay down our armor and our artillery and turn back on God in the day of battle. I hope you don't have any doubts about us being in a day of battle today. We're there, friend. Amen. And some of you have quit praising God. Some of you used to shout, run these aisles. I'm not talking about getting plumb fanatical and ridiculous. I know people can get in the flesh and get ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I can't read through that Bible and find where it ever tells me to stop appraising my God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm afraid we've just about quit praising Him. I heard the preacher say that, Brother Allen, the other night, if you'll praise God long enough, He'll show up. Now I'm telling you, some of you that are in the valley need to just ram back one time and praise your way out of the valley. And if you'll praise Him and thank Him and bless His name, He'll show up in the valley where you're at, amen, and equip you with all the necessities you need to go right on serving God in these last days. Amen. Hello out there. Is anybody home tonight? Are y'all here? Can you nod your head up and down? Can you say amen? Can you say oh me or amen or help preacher or preach, preacher, preach or do something? Amen. Ephraim, being armed and carrying bow, turned back in the day of battle. And notice when they turned back, they had the armor and they had the artillery. But it wasn't in the good times when they turned back. It was when they faced their enemy. Now I'm telling you, friend, if our faith, if we collapse in the time of adversity, our faith is very small. Just mark that down. And there's so many people don't want to fight. They don't want to fight the enemy. Why they've laid down and given up on sin. They some folks that just caved in to sin. Preacher, it's easier for me to get my television back. It's easier to let my young'uns dress how they want to dress. It's easier to compromise than it is to fight. I'm telling you, you're looking at one old bed up here tonight. This God, I'd rather fight than I would switch. And I'm not about to give an inch to the devil. If you give place to the devil, I'll guarantee you he'll take a mile on you. If you give way to sin or Satan or society, it'll overrun you like a weak city. Amen. I'm telling you, people, oh, hey, people don't want to fight sin. Oh, now, preacher, now I got the television out of my house. My wife's dressing all right, and I've got my hair cut, and I don't wear Bermuda shorts. Well, let me ask you something. What are you doing about fighting them little foxes that's spoiling the vine? Are you turned back in the day of battle? I'm going to tell you what I'd do to that little old prideful heart of mine. If I was you, I'd draw back one of them arrows at full length that God's put in my quiver, and I'd shoot the stinking devil right between the eyes with it. Amen to God. That old pride and that old jealousy and those little foxes are what are spoiling the vine in the house of God. A lot of people don't want to fight that. So I'm going to tell you something. Anybody can cut a cord off the back end of a television set. It don't take a real Christian to stop watching TV. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm going to tell you what it takes a real Christian to do. Roll up their sleeves and fight against them little bitty sins. Like I preached on the other day. What are you going to do about that melancholy spirit some of you is in? Sit in here with your ears drooped like a dog. Bless your heart. In your face, you look like Sad Sack Sam Jones. What on God's name is wrong? Somebody said, preacher, that's the way I am. No, I'm telling you, if that's the way you are, it's time you got up and faced your problem head on, got your bones in your ear, and fought that problem and that sin that's in your life. You can say amen or oh me. Don't make a flip to me which one. Amen. Sin. See, it's easy to fight the external. But it's difficult to fight the internal. And that's where our sin problem's at today. It's easy to prune a tree. Anybody can get a pair of them little snips and prune a tree, can't they? It don't take a real man to do that. Women can do that. But I'm going to tell you what it takes a real man to get out a grubbing hoe and a good spade and start it around that tree and dig her out by the roots. It takes a real man, a son, to get a hold of sin that's rooted in our life. I'm talking about those little sins that's rooted. And by the way, if you ain't never taken care of the taproot, you've got real problems. I'm telling you, better get the taproot cut and get the tree of sin out of your life tonight. Amen. Folks don't want to fight that. I'm going to tell you something else they don't want to fight. And I don't know why I'm on these things. They don't want to fight temptation. They don't want to fight troubles. They don't want to fight trials. Roll over like a possum and play dead. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something else most folks don't want to worry with. Problems in their own home. Problems between husband and wife. Well, I'd rather not bring up the issue. Let it plague you then. I'm going to tell you what, if there's an issue between a man and his wife, buddy, you better take time to sit down with one another and begin to talk about that problem. Then get on your face before God and ask God to work in your life and take care of that little fox that's a spoiling the vine. It'll work, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, but he from being armed and carrying bow turned back in the day of battle. Most people don't want to fight that. They don't want to fight the troubles. Son, if it's smooth sailing, everything's all right, but when troubles and trials and heartaches come, it's time to lay the armor down. It was in the day of battle. The battle was raging. And can I say this in military language? Ephraim would have been considered a coward. Ephraim would have been considered a traitor. Ephraim would have been considered a one that had mutiny. I'm here to tell you tonight, it was during battle, while the battle was raging, is when he turned back. I want you to remember, hey, if you turn back in the day of battle, you're weakening the front line forces. You're weakening the forces that there and yet remain. Oh, I'll tell you, there was a time in our military when a man wouldn't fight. If he run, they'd shoot him. That is absolutely right. Old General MacArthur, tell him if he didn't fight, he'd shoot him. He'd tell him, I'll shoot you between the eyes with a .45. Amen to God. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like it. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. Son, I'm telling you, we've got some spiritual dissenters today and compromisers who have turned back in the day of battle, and they're not willing to fight the good fight of faith with the enemies that the devil has brought before. Amen to God. I want to say that they may have turned back. Are you listening? They may have turned back because they feared the enemy. If you said they turned back in the day of battle. I wrote down in my Bible, confidence. Confidence is, how was it I worded it? I better read it to you. Confidence of mastery. I wonder if anybody's got that kind of confidence tonight. In mastering those sins in your life, are mastering those enemies in your life. I'm going to tell you something what Paul said. Paul said, whosoever you serve, if you yield to that, you're a servant of that, and a man yields to his enemies, you will serve your enemies all the days of your life. And there's not very many people tonight that have the confidence that they can win the war that we're engaged in, my friend. Are you listening to me? It's kind of like preaching. When I started preaching, I'd get up and sputter around a little bit and cotton mouth out. In about 5 minutes, I'd sit down and didn't have much to say. You know why? I didn't have any confidence that I could preach. I had no confidence at all that I could preach. But I'm telling you, I've been preaching just about long enough now that I can look some of you in the face, bless your heart, and just go right on preaching. Amen. God told Jeremiah, I said, don't even look at their faces. But I believe I've done got to the point where I can look you right square in the eyeball and tell you right from wrong. Tell you when you are right and when you're wrong. Amen to God. Some of you don't have any confidence you can do anything. I can't sing, Brother Hall. Who told you couldn't? I can't pray out loud, Brother Hall. Who told you couldn't? Brother Hall, I can't sing in the choir. Who told you couldn't? I can't sing a special. Who told you couldn't sing a special? I'm telling you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I told somebody in the office this morning, I said something me and Benny's talking. I didn't forget what the subject was about, but I said, yeah. I said, I can do all things through Christ. He said, I told him, I said, you need to be home this week or something. He said, I can't be. I said, you can do all things through Christ with strength. He said, if you can do all things, go down there and do my work for me. I don't know whether I can do that or not. But I'm going to tell you, I believe I can get on my face before God and pray it through. That's a problem. Some of you know how to get on your face before God and pray things through. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Don't let the battle scare you. Hey, you know why? Because the battle has already been won. I'm telling you, the victory is already ours if we'll stand fast on the front line of service like a good soldier of the faith and look the devil in the eyeball, look sin in the eyeball, and look the world in the eyeball, and by the grace of God, pull our arrows of grace out of the quiver and take care of every enemy the devil might send before us. What are you afraid of? When I was a little boy, I'm going to tell myself. When I was a little boy, I had a fear of darkness. I just didn't like to be in a dark place nowhere but myself. As long as I had somebody with me, I was all right. And Sister Hall will tell you, I'm still that way. I still like my nightlight burning, but that's just to get to the bathroom without stumbling. Amen. But I'll be quite honest with you. As a grown man, I'm not too fond of darkness. And if you'd tell the truth, you'd say, I'm not either. One thing, you can't see. You can't see in the dark. And I'm going to tell you our problem with our enemy. We're fighting some enemies we can't see. And because we can't see them and they're not tangible, we can't put our hands on them, we're afraid of them. But I'm going to tell you what. Our God is great to the pulling down of strongholds, friend. We can pull down every stronghold just like Jericho fell. Son, I'm telling you what some of you need to do. Is just march around Jericho about 7 times and shout until the walls fall down around the problem that you're having in your life. I remember one time we went home and Miss Paul's grandmother and grandpa used to go to a little old Pentecostal church up there. I said, Granny, I said, how was church Sunday? She said, I don't think we'll go back. I said, why not? And she said, well, all they done was got in church and done the Jericho stomp. I said, they done what? She said, the Jericho stomp. I said, what is the Jericho stomp? She said, they all got in a big circle all around the church and said they all marched around the church and on the platform. When they'd get on the platform, they'd stomp. And they called that the Jericho stomp. And it's supposed to be a stomping the devil and bringing down the walls of Jericho that they might go into the land and have the victory. Well, I don't know about doing the Jericho stomp, but I'm going to tell you what, if you'll sound some ram's horn and march around your Jericho, my friend. And on that last day in the seventh time, if you'll give a great shout and praise unto your God, it might amaze you what would fall down in your life and give you the privilege of going into that blessed land of Canaan. Amen to God. Hallelujah. They may have feared the enemy. I want to say second reason why they may have turned back. Their faith was not steadfast. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Now, I didn't read that verse, but I will read it. And it said, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That's verse 8. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, they were double-minded. They were like Reuben. They were unstable. They were like Baptists are today. They're up today and down tomorrow. They're like Reuben. They're as unstable as water. You can take water and just pour it out. It has no stability. It can't stand up by itself. Has no power to stand on its own. I'm telling you, I know a lot of Baptists that are like that. If they're not propped up every Sunday by the preacher, they pump out their little lower lip and get pat about something that's going on. And they want somebody to prop them up. I'm telling you, you're double-minded in all your ways and an unstable man if you're that way. People get jealous. Well, you done this for so-and-so, and you didn't do something for me. And now I'm going to pout. I'm telling you, friend, I'm so tired of powders. Bless God, we don't need powders. Mr. Wynn, we need some chatter. Praise God, we need some folks around here. Might not do the Jericho stomp, but we need some folks to get up with some grace in their heart and joy in their soul and let the devil know that they're on the Lord's side and they're not about to cave in at the pressures. That's around us. Family pressures, financial pressures. God knows where you're at. I wanted to jump up there tonight as loud as I could in Sister Halls of singing and say, He's still God! Somebody in here want to challenge that statement and tell me He's not God anymore? Has He changed? Has He stopped loving His people? Has He withdrawn His benefits and blessings? How can He withdraw anything? I'm telling you, give us a Bible with 66 books in it, and God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Not one jot, not one tittle of that Bible will fail, buddy. Mark that down. I'm a King James Bible man, too. Bunch of idiots run around all over the country quoting other translations like the moron in the paper today. He's a moron. Hope he's listening. He's a moron. I never seen the likes. Let him go pray his rosary. Man, talking about how intelligent he is in the Bible and sit down and trust a little string of beads to get something done for him. Come on the house, boys and girls. I'm glad I got a God that cannot be touched with hands, cannot be seen with the naked eye. But all my faith I've laid hold on the very throne of God's grace, my friend. And He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And son, He'll answer it and do it. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Their faith was not steadfast. Now, you know what that word steadfast means? It means to nurse. In other words, they had not been nursed by the Lord. Take a baby that don't nurse, it'll die. Take a Christian that don't learn to nurse. They'll starve to death. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he is able to succor those that come unto God by him. When's the last time you had a good nursing time? Amen. Lay your head in the bosom of Christ. That's right. That'll make you steadfast. Get something from God. Get something from God. Like Brother Wayne said this morning, said he was in the shire, said if somebody heard him, they'd have thought he was a nut in the shire, a crying and a singing and a praising God while he was in the shire. But he said, I couldn't help it. I got something at home. I tell you, that's wearing out of me, son. We ought to get something at the house and carry what we got at God's house. And if we'll all do that, think what had happened down here on next Sunday morning. It's untelling. Why ain't you shouting over that stuff in the back? Do it again, Papa. Do it again. Hey, man, that's right, ain't it? Say, preacher, I ain't got much to shout about today. Let me challenge you to do this. Go back to a time when you did have something to shout about. And find out what you were shouting about then and shout about her now. Amen. It may be a cold egg, but it'll do in a pinch. You'll catch that by slow freight directly. That means to nurse. It means to build up. It means to support. It means to be permanent. It means to go to the right hand. That's right. Be steadfast. Go to the right hand of God. That right hand's always a symbol of power. Get a hold of that power of God in your life. That's right. Go get to the right hand. Nurse a little while. Let Him build you up. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, we've got a holy faith that we can build ourselves up on. I want to say, thirdly, they failed to keep God's covenant. Look at verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law, though they failed to keep the covenant of God. Fourthly, they forgot the works and the wonders of God. Look at verse number 11. And forget His works and His wonders that He showed them. Somebody said, preacher, what kind of works and wonders did they forget? I'm glad you asked me. For it says in verse number 12, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. Anybody know how many plagues God done in the land of Zoan? Come on now, let's pay attention now. I'm about done with you. How many plagues, Brother Wayne? They had already forgotten what their fathers told them about the water that God turned into blood. They had forgotten about the flies and the lice and the frogs God sent, and the hail and the lightning bolts God sent down into the land of Egypt. They had already forgotten about the darkness that covered the land. They had forgotten about the death of the firstborn. And if you can get a hold of this, God done all those wonders. Hey, to deliver them out of bondage. I'm going to tell you what some of you have forgotten. What God, the plagues and the wonders God performed to get you out of the mess you was in. Think about it, Brother Mark. There's a man standing on a bridge and ready to plunge himself to death and spend eternity in hell. And God sent a witness by just at the right time to tell him about the grace of God. Son, we'll never forget that. Started scanning his channel and found a little old bunch of nuts down here in Madisonville. And he's in here on a Sunday morning. And old Brother Doug Thompson was a shell in the corn. And something got a hold of him, praise God. Woo! Something got a hold of him. Now I'm going to tell you, his wife didn't like it. But that night up yonder in that bedroom, she learned to like it. Now I'm telling you right now, don't you ever forget. He said they forgot, they forgot, they forgot the plague God done down in the land of Zoan. I won't ever forget what God done to get me saved, buddy. Now, I don't want to forget what he done to get me right with God. He took the sweetest woman that ever lived to get me right with God, besides my wife, to get me right with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God knows where to touch you in the pressure point, friend. He can take the dearest thing that you ever had, if that's what it takes to get you right with God. You reckon he can do that? He can do it, can he? Oh, I'll never forget that Sunday night, Miss Sharon come easing up in front of the church. I told Miss Hall, I said, she's here. Praise God, I invited somebody to church and they actually showed up. I'll never forget tomorrow, old Brother Shandy and Miss Louise come walking in. I said to my heart, they're here. I can't believe it. But God can take something that we look appears to us to be bad and make a blessing, turn it into a blessing for us. Now, I don't want to bring up anything to offend nobody, but had it not been for Cater's mama dying, and had it not been for Hannah dying, I'd have never got to invite that couple to church at 11:05 on a Sunday morning. I met them there both times at funerals before I met them. That's a tragedy of life. But can you see how God can take a tragedy of life to some family and just turn it into the blessings of God for somebody else?
Amen.
Oh, what a God we've got. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Shelby, you and Miss Louie, you ought to never forget, hey, that elderly lady and that little baby that God took in order to get a hold of your heart for Him. Yes, praise His wonderful name. They forgot the plagues. They forgot the wonders of God to get them out of the iron furnace and over yonder in Canaan land to a place where it's flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Amen. They forgot the plagues. They forgot His power. Look at verse 14. It said, in the daytime, He led them with a cloud, and at night He led them by fire. They forgot the path. Verse 14. He led, no, that was verse 14. Verse 13 was the other one. I'm not going back to that. He divided the seas. Yeah, verse 13, that's His path. They forgot His power. Verses 16, 15, and 20, they forgot His provisions. Now they forgot all that and turned back in the day of battle. Now I'm going to tell you, you can't forget God. You can't forget His power, His provisions, the plagues, and His blessings. If you do, you're going to turn back in the day of battle like a little coward with your tail tucked between your legs. We was at Jose Camacho's at Memorial Baptist Church preaching on a... Was it a, what night of the week was it, Miss Hall? We preached there one night, didn't we? Huh? Wednesday night. I'm talking about this last time down there. On a Wednesday night. And service is over and we're standing outside. And I heard the awfulest racket you ever heard. And I looked and here come a dog, honestly, that was pert near between my knees and my belt. Coming down through there with his tail between his legs, just a squall. And you would have thought, bless God, that 25 St. Bernards was after him. And I looked behind him and there come a dog you could have stuffed in this water cup. I said, praise God, there goes a good Baptist. There goes old Ephraim in the day of battle, being armed and carrying bow. He turned back over a little old biting dog. He forgot the works, failed to keep the covenant. Faith was not steadfast, and he feared the enemy. I want to say three things and we're done. Four things that men turn back with victory inside of. I believe some men have turned back with a cross in sight. Just like that rich young ruler in Mark's Gospel chapter 10. I'm not going to turn to these. It's getting late and we're ready to go home. But that's like that rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 and verses, 17 through 22, something like that. Come to the Lord Jesus and said, good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And He said, why callest thou me? There's none good but one. He said, keep all the commandments. Honor your father and mother. He said, all these I've done for my youth. Jesus said, you lack one thing. Go home, sell everything you got, and give it to the poor. Come take up your cross and come and follow me. And he went away from that saying very sorrowful because he had much, much possessions. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Oh, don't tell me, hey, I've been labeled a Calvinist, but don't tell me I'm a Calvinist. There was a man that walked right up into the very face of heaven. Had victory in sight. He could have been saved. He could have been born again. He could have had God's Holy Ghost in him. But he turned away with victory in sight. I think of Judas Iscariot walked up and kissed heaven on the cheek and died and went to hell. I'm telling you, friend, it's a sad day in America when men and women, boys and girls, sit on church pews. These little old kids that come with Brother Jerome, they sit over here and just act like they're as unconcerned about what's going on in here. And the reason they act that way is because they are unconcerned. But I'm here to tell you, they're walking right up to the very gate of heaven itself and heard the gospel preached to them. They know right from wrong, and I'll guarantee you they all know they're sinners. But I'm afraid they're turning back on the fair not. If God don't get them, they'll turn back with victory inside and die and go to hell. If I somebody in here tonight, I sure wouldn't turn back from God with victory inside. I'd get to the cross, kneel at the cross, and get saved by the grace of God. Amen. I saw more conviction down there Friday night than I've seen in a church service in a long time. I've got to be honest about it. That conviction was there. And I'm satisfied. As people turned back. And they could have had victory that night. They could have got on that altar and left that building and went out and got in their automobile and went home a new man. But they decided to stay that old way and they're going to die and go to hell. Brother Allen said on Thursday night, when the service had ended, he said, my cousin was here tonight. That he said under the singing, but he left before we started preaching. And he said, I have been trying to get him to church for years. He said, I'm talking about years, years and years and years. He said, it's the first time he ever come to church. And he couldn't make it through the preaching. Made the singing, but he couldn't make it through the preaching. Oh, how sad, how sad. How sad that men will draw right up. I hope that there's nobody in here tonight. It's like Paul said in Hebrews. I hope there's nobody here who are those that drop. That draw back from the very gate of God. Men standing around the wicked gate and they'll die outside the gate and go to hell. When all they have to do is knock on the heart of Christ and hit open. They might find safety and refuge from their sin and from the very wrath of God. And yet they'll continue to go on. God help us. God help us. I had a man ask me a question the other day. And then I said, hey, what you need to do is make sure that you're saved. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. It wasn't 2 minutes till some little old potty word popped out of his mouth. I said in my heart, saved you like a pig day, saved. John Mayo, jail, God will say, hey, God will send them a witness around to tell them right, and they'll try to break it off and break it off, just like the rich man in Luke 16. I'm satisfied that Lazarus was there for a witness to that man, and he stepped over a witness of God and went to hell. Without God and without hope, friend, men will come that close to victory. Turn. Being armed and carrying bows. Jesus has died, yea, risen again. And beyond that, he's ascended to the right hand of God, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And because he lives, we can live also, and yet men will pull up to the gate of heaven and die and go to hell. Sad, sad day. Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Listen to the devil's voice. Listen to the whispers of Satan. Afraid of the pressure, peer pressure from family members. Afraid of embarrassing themselves. Church members lost without God. Won't get right with God for fear that somebody else talk about them. That's the devil telling you that. I'd chunk that mess and get right with God. I won't say others like those in Numbers chapter number 25. They'll pull up, or chapter number 14 rather, they'll pull up to the very threshold of Canaan. Those Hebrews pulled up got right on where they could look right over from Kadesh Barnea, and there wasn't no river there either from the cross, and wouldn't go in. Verse number 25 in that chapter said, and God turned them back, and they wandered in the wilderness. I wonder how many Baptists tonight at Island Ford Baptist Church that God has brought some of you to the very threshold of that Spirit-filled life. I'm talking about having real joy, having the honey bucket of God turned over in your soul. And you looked over and saw them John and said, not today. The wilderness looks much better. After all, we've been eating manna, drinking water out of a rock. God fed us with angels' food. The life over here in the wilderness is not so bad. But there's two old faithful witnesses. Now, if you can believe what you want to believe, I believe Caleb and Joshua was atop the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. They said, come on over. We've been there. We've marched through this wilderness. And we've been over there and spied out the land. And it's much, much better over here. Oh, but you men don't understand. There's giants over there. Yeah. But old Joshua rolled up his sleeve and said, praise God, we're carrying bow and arrow. We're armed, praise God. We're armed with the right hand to the power of God. We can go over. We can drink milk and eat honey. Parched corn, praise God. Eat them grapes of Esco and suck the goody out of them. Use a peeling for a shower cap, son. Woo! Don't pull up short of Canaan. Go on. Come on across. Come on into the water. I believe in the last 3 weeks, God's got my feet back in the water. Amen. Come on in the water, bless your heart. And I want to say that I think some men like the man in Mark, in Luke 9, in verse 63. Some men have turned back from the call of God with victory inside. Not me, Lord. I know many are called and few are chosen. Surely I'm not one of the chosen, Lord. I believe that verse is talking about a call to preach. I don't know if it's got anything to do with salvation. Service. Many are called, but not everybody passes the test. Hey, you're armed with bow and arrow. Come on. Come on. I was upstairs trying to get ready for this message this afternoon, and I looked over and read that in the Gospel of Luke. And I started to write Brother Wayne's name down on there. Say, go on, Brother Wayne, go on! I told Miss Hall today, God got His hand on him. And I'm telling you, a blind maggot can see that. And I started to write his name down. And I'm honest, I had to draw back a little bit. I said, God, I don't want to lose him. But in the flesh, I know the flesh don't, but I'm telling you, in the Spirit, go on, Brother Wayne. Go on, put your hand to the plow. And don't turn back. Go on and preach the gospel. Bury the plow to the hood and plow never stop and go on. And preach for God. Amen. That's right. Some men will turn back. They'll run into a little snag. Well, I fouled up. Nobody shouted today when I preached, or nobody smiled when I preached. You think they were smiling at Jeremiah and Ezekiel? They didn't smile at Daniel, they tried to kill him. And then there's those that draw back from the cup. John 18:11, when they come out to take Jesus. Old Peter pulled out that sword. I believe Peter's a left-handed man because he cut off the right ear of Malchus. If he cut off the right ear, that means he had to come around with his left hand in order to do it unless he'd done it sideways. I can't prove that. But the Lord said, put up your sword into its sheath. So this is something to this effect. He said, must I not drink the cup that my Father's prepared for me? There's a will that God has for us all. And can I say this to you? I wrote this down in my Bible a few weeks ago. Listen to me, Brother Doug. I put this in my Bible a few weeks ago. I said, does a man have to find the will of God, or will the will of God find him? I've heard a lot of preachers say, find the will of God, find the will of God, find the will of God. can a man find the will of God? We don't even know our own will. But I'm going to tell you what God will do. If you'll just by faith just follow the open doors, God will put you in the will of God.
Amen.
Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. On and on and on. That, not that you might find, but that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God.
Amen.
That is, present your body as a living sacrifice in what you're doing, and you'll prove whether you're in the will of God or not. Everybody in this church has got a will. God's got a will for your life here. Somebody said, oh, I might go somewhere else. I'd better bloom. Better bloom where you planted. I believe I'll just stay right here for some of you. All of you. Ephraim, being armed and carrying bow, turned back. Not in a good time, preacher. In the day of battle. That'd been like Uriah being set forth in the heat of the battle and withdrawing himself, folding his arms, saying, I refuse to fight. But he went ahead and fought and died in the heat of the battle for his God. Let's stand together.